Technorama episode 596 for April 15th, 2020. Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, well, how about that? You picked the right time to stay at home, cuddle up with a warm cup of hot chocolate, and have some fun with us. My name is Chuck Tomasi. Oh, and if you're returning listener, viewer, watcher, whatever, thank you very much. We appreciate it once again. And enjoy the cocoa. My name is Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And joining me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. Still in quarantine, hanging out.
Are you myself. Drinking any quarantinis?
I did.
I haven't had a I don't even want to know how you make a quarantini. It doesn't sound like something you should be drinking.
Wait, what was that? The liquor store that I usually go to.
Yes.
They had a sign that says, gin and juice makes a quarantini.
Who's got juice? We ran out of juice and we've got oranges that grow in the yard.
Well, you can make them.
Well, but they're all gone. Orange season is over. It's like December to March.
Well.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way.
Grapefruit juice.
O'Darby's Beer, Wine, and Spirits also had on their sign, make a quarantine fun. Great deals inside.
We found a liquor store with a drive-thru, so yes, you could do that.
You could do that.
Yeah. Yep. We went and got some pizza, and right next door was a liquor store, so that worked out well.
We're set.
We got like a week's worth of both. Hope everybody out there is doing well and taking care of yourself. Stay inside, stay safe, wash your hands, all that good stuff that you've been hearing about. I know the news is getting a little monotonous and dismal of late, so hopefully we can bring a little joviality, livelihood into your lives. And we will start with our question of the week that we asked last week.
Letters every day.
Speaking of letters.
Really low. Can't hear ding. That.
Ding.
Those letters.
Ding.
I love those letters.
Ding.
Let us find out what you got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
Let's see what we got. No, we didn't get anything in the email, but... Speaking of letters, I do have a postcard for Steve Therrien in the mail going out. He was
good.
He said, hey, I was listening, and he is one of our Patreon patrons. So our cruise postcards, good thing we got extras, Craig. We're still going out.
We plan ahead.
And yes, Avner took a picture and sent it to us. He says, Puerto Rico, I know I'm a little bit behind, but what's this for?
Well, he's way behind. Wow.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have our question of the week. You wake up. It's 2050. What is the first thing you Google? And we got answers on the Technorama page. Thank you very much. If you subscribe to the Technorama podcast page on Facebook, you will get this question right away. We have Mike Will saying, do I still need to self-isolate 30 years from now? Lots of laughs on that one. There were some very creative answers.
Sleeping hard.
And then he immediately Googles, what the hell happened the last 30 years? That's right. John Kretzer says, what was Google? I thought the same thing. Craig, you made this question when you said, what do you Google first? Like, you're pretty confident Google's going to be around in 30 years, and it's the answer to everything anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. Who knows, right?
John Miller Jr. says, I may be dead, so nothing.
Looks like a Simpsons cemetery or something.
Probably is. Or Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Zoinks, let's get out of here! For whatever reason, I... got the link on here twice, so give me a second.
My link is the same thing, too. Let me pull mine up.
I said show attachment. What the heck? Yeah, pull yours up. I know how to get there.
All right, here we go.
Okay, what do you got?
I have, of course, Joe McLaughlin. Google.
That's what I
Rocky
said.
Rocky Nobilino, old buddy. He says Star Trek.
Star Trek.
Okay, I'll take that.
Heather says 2020 election results. Ooh.
Hey, Norbert Davis says, wait a minute, 2050, why would you go back that far to, Norbert Davis says, what's my 401k look like?
You know, we have, I had one of those too. Where is it? It was Danny Mortensen says, what are ServiceNow shares worth these days?
That's right.
I'd like to know that one also.
Hey, Mark Kilfoyle, he said, advice for person waking up. He said, 30 years asleep, in quotes, plus 2020, plus 2050, minus movie, minus story, minus fiction. Those are the options he's searching with. I said, funny, those are the same options I searched for COVID-19, minus story, minus fiction, and minus movie.
Gary says, I Google, how the hell could I sleep for 30 years? Second, how is it I'm still alive at 89 years old? And then Joan, one of our friends, Joan, comes back and says, hey, I expect to live to 89. It's only 4 years from now.
Oh, yeah, right. Like my dad says, you know, he's 73. He said, I used to think 80 was old. Not anymore.
Christy says, how well are my books selling on Amazon? Joe Fiore says, Star Trek 14. That's what he Googles.
And one of my scouting friends, Catherine, she posted Prince 1999.
A lot of stuff around Google quarantine and coronavirus, obviously, but there's some very creative answers in here. When will the isolation end in 2050? Right. When's the next iPhone coming out?
2051.
Thank you very much, everybody who participated in that. It's always fun to do that. We'll have another question for you at the end of the show that we'll put on social media next week. And with that, we now return you to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Yay!
Right into the history. On this day in history for April 15th, 2020, this is the 106th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 260 days remaining in 2020. It was on this date in 1755 that Samuel Johnson's A Dictionary of the English Language is published in London.
And it was 203 years ago today that Thomas Hopkins Gallu and Laurent Clerc, founded the American School for the Deaf, huh?
Laurent, you know, like Yves Saint Laurent.
And I answer with you, huh? And the first American school for deaf students in Hartford, Connecticut.
April 15th, 1865, President Abraham Lincoln died after being shot the previous evening by actor John Wilkes Booth. Vice President Andrew Johnson becomes president upon Lincoln's death.
And that same date in 1892, the General Electric Company was formed.
What did they sell?
General Electric stuff.
Anything that was general and electric.
Pie pans.
Horse carriages. Buggy whips. It was on this date in 1896, the closing ceremony of the games for the first Olympiad in Athens, Greece. 1896 is when the modern Olympiad started up again.
It was also on this date in 1912 that the British passenger liner RMS Titanic sank in the North Atlantic at 2:20 a.m., which hasn't worked for a lot of people's sleeping schedules. 2 hours and 40 minutes after hitting the iceberg, only 710 of the 2,227 passengers and crew on board survived.
Also today,
like one of your French girls, whatever, never mind.
No. Also today in 1923, insulin became generally available for use by people with diabetes.
And also on April 15th, 1924, it was tax day. And Rand McNally published its first road atlas.
Didn't that seem like a never-ending source of revenue? We can just keep updating them because the roads keep changing.
Yeah.
Then we got Yahoo Maps.
Yeah, now we got Google Maps.
Now we got Google Maps. This is a successor to Yahoo Maps. We don't have to print those out.
No, MapQuest.
MapQuest, that's what I was at. MapQuest. You had to like go to the area you wanted and print it out. Yes, I remember renting MapQuest cars and having MapQuest printouts next to me. All right, let's keep going. Where were we? That same date in 1947, Jackie Robinson debuts in the Brooklyn Dodgers, breaking baseball's color line.
And 68 years ago today, the first flight of the Boeing B-52 Stratoforest. Fortress.
68 years ago. That's an old bird. And they're still flying. It was 65 years ago today that McDonald's restaurant dates its founding to the opening of a franchise restaurant by Ray Kroc in Des Plaines, Illinois. I've been there.
Oh, have you? Okay.
Yeah. Happy birthday goes out of the state to Italian mathematician and astronomer Pietro Cataldi, born on this date, no relation to Peter Capaldi, born on this date in 1552.
And Robert Sibbald, Scottish physician and geographer, was born on the same date in 1641.
Okay. This one I know because I took college math. Swiss mathematician and physicist Leonhard Euler, born on this date in 1707.
German astronomer and academic Friedrich George Wilhelm von Strauss was born 227 years ago today.
That was the most American way to say a German name.
Strauss.
Friedrich Georg Wilhelm von Struve.
Whatever.
Hermann Grassmann was born.
Hey,
yes.
Wait a minute. So Frederick was born 227 years ago. Today. So I don't think he cares how I pronounce his name.
He's dead, Jim.
Yes, sir. Very dead, Jim.
Hermann Grassmann, he was a mathematician, also born on this date in 1809.
Oh, and German physicist and academic Nobel Prize laureate Johann Stark was born on this date in 1874.
Relative of Tony Stark? The world may never know.
We'll just go there.
Yes, it's a fact now.
Canon.
born April 15, 1896, Russian physicist and chemist, Nobel Prize laureate, Nikolai Semyonov.
Sounds good. Robert Mills, American physicist and academic, was born on the same date in 1927.
It's the highlight of our show, people. Get used to it.
American actress
and producer Elizabeth Montgomery, wiggle your nose, dee-doo, was born on this date in 1933. Right.
And also turning 69 today is American engineer and astronaut Marsha Ivins.
American captain and astronaut John L. Phillips is 69.
And also born on the same date in 1982, Canadian-American actor, director, producer, and screenwriter Seth Rogen. Wow.
Hermione 82. Granger, Emma Watson is 30 today. Can you believe that? Craziness ensues. All right, listener birthdays real quick for the week of April 15th through 21st. Mrs. Technorama on the 16th. That'd be my lovely wife who takes care of all the cameras and titles on this show. Thank you very much. Scafey, a.k.a. Anthony, is on the 18th. On the 19th is Amanda. That's Susie the Geek's daughter and geek in training. I think she's an adult now. She's no longer in training. And Kim and Craig's anniversary is on the 21st. Don't forget, Craig. Yes.
No, I would not forget. That's why it's on the calendar.
On this day in history for April 15th, 2020. Well, we did one thing right in this show. And if you want to be on that birthday calendar, you go over to chuckchat.com/wiki. We'll give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. It doesn't even have to be your birthday. It could be your spouse's birthday. It could be an anniversary. It could be your dog's vaccination day. I don't know. Go ahead. Put something on that form. See what happens. We might actually put it in the show. Thank you. And if it's your birthday and it's this week and we didn't get to it, we love you anyway. Thank you very much. Happy birthday. Stay inside. Stay safe. Don't get anyone infected for your birthday. If you're going to be giving out, if you're going to get presents, don't get that one.
Yeah. Don't keep the germs to yourself.
All right, we do have a little bit of bad news.
Bad news, everyone.
Actually, we have a lot of bad news with this article. This is from LiveScience.com. And apparently, scientists have detected what may be the largest hole in the ozone layer ever recorded over the North Pole. The ozone hole covers an area roughly three times the size of Greenland. Scientists from the European Space Agency, ESA, said in a statement that could expose people living at far northern latitudes to high levels of ultraviolet radiation if it grows much larger. Fortunately, the hole looks likely to close on its own over the next few weeks, said ESA researcher. So what caused this thing?
Well, doesn't it come and go? Because they said NASA said that, one time it was closed up and then now it's back again. Is it the same
Yeah, there was the one over the South Pole that they believe was from the CFCs. Let's read on. Holes form in the ozone layer, which is a sheet of gas in the Earth's atmosphere that absorbs much of the harmful UV emitted by the sun. Every year over Antarctica, that's on the South Pole, due to the seasonal changes in cloud cover, ozone holes over the Arctic, North Pole, however, are rarer. The last time an Arctic ozone hole opened was in 2011, and it was significantly smaller than the hole seen now, the researchers said. Quote, from my point of view, this is the first time you can speak about a real ozone hole in the Arctic, Martin Damaris, an atmospheric scientist at the German Aerospace Center, told Nature. The Antarctic ozone hole opens every year due to a combination of frigid temperatures and man-made pollution. When temperatures plummet at the start of the Antarctic's winter, high-altitude clouds form over the South Pole. Industrial chemical pollutants, including chlorine and bromine, trigger reactions in these clouds that eat away at the surrounding ozone gas. The Arctic, which has more variable temperatures, doesn't usually see the same ozone-depleting conditions, the researchers said. But this year, powerful winds trapped cold air in a polar vortex, which people living in northern climates know all too well, trapped that air above the Arctic. That led to colder temperatures and more high-altitude clouds than normal. Hence, North Pole ozone depletion began. Okay, so we get cold temperatures, ozone thing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Temperature variability, global warming, you make up your mind. Fortunately, yeah. With the sun slowly getting higher over the Arctic, atmosphere temperatures are already beginning to increase, which means conditions causing the ozone hole should soon change. The researchers said that they did. However, if the hole continues to expand south, Arctic residents, like those living in southern Greenland, may need to apply sunscreen to prevent UV damage. Do I have to put it on over my coat?
Yes, I was just thinking, how many layers of clothes are they're already wearing? I don't know.
Well, in the summer, you know, things get warm. People take their parka off and away you go. All right. Are we already at show break time? Let's do a shout out. Then we'll take a break.
Sure.
So why not? Who do we have in the chat? We have John Miller Jr. We have Dan Coyer. Wow. We got our Patreon people showing up. Thank you. Finally not busy on a Saturday evening, Dan says. Wonderful. Says Rick, thank you for joining us.
It says Rick Stringer joined.
All right.
He must be bored.
Sunday evening. Sunday evening. He must be bored. There's nothing on the internet except you guys.
Right.
Thank you for joining us. We do this show on Sundays at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. That's so Craig can go to bed right after the show. On the other hand, have to stay up and process the files and videos and for another 10 minutes. And we invite you to go over to our Facebook page, Technorama Podcast, on Sunday nights, and you'll get an alert that comes up and says, hey, Technorama Podcast is doing their thing now. Or if you follow one of us, you're going to get that announcement too, because we share the video. Thank you. You can also get in touch with us by, she had it on the screen.
Nah.
There it is. Contact us. Listener line, 707-530-2428. I could have punched the buttons over here. I guess I've got, no, the keypad isn't set up for my profile. 707-530-2428 is the phone number. 707. Write it down. 707-530-2428.
Read it again.
To write it down. It's on the screen. If you're watching, you can just take a screenshot at this point. But if you're listening, that's another matter. Because we do this show.
I got the video paused. Like, is this how your family Zoom went today?
Yeah, pretty much.
Was that a three?
Send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. For now, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with a few more stories in uno momento.
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with Astronomy Cast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Trek, Larry Nemechek, coming at you right from Portal 47 and all things Trekland, and you're listening to Technorama, with Chuck and Craig.
Break time over. Back on your heads.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we're back.
All right. We have, what do we have? Remember When? We have a Remember When.
Remember When.
Awesome. We like Remember When. I think it's your turn.
Yes. Well, it is my
turn.
What happened? And they found out.
50 years ago. No, not 50 years ago.
Yeah, 50 years ago.
50.
My 50K. Yeah, 50,000 years ago, Neanderthals were making string.
Oh, this is string theory time.
That's what it is. String theory. So it looked like a white splotch on the underside of a Neanderthal stone tool, but a microscope showed it was a bunch of fibers twisted around each other. Further explanation revealed that it was the first direct evidence that Neanderthals could make string and the oldest known direct evidence of string making overall, researchers say. The find implies our evolutionary cousins have had some understanding of numbers of the trees that furnish the raw material, they say. It's the latest discovery to show Neanderthals, however you want to say it, were smarter than modern day people often assume. Bruce Hardy of Kenyon College in Gambier, Ohio, and colleagues report the discovery on a paper released Thursday, I guess last Thursday, by the Journal of Scientific Reports. The string hints at the possibility of other abilities like making of bags, mats. What are they trying to capitalize on this now?
No, they're figuring out if you made string, what could you make out of the strings?
No, it's like the first thing comes by and he shows them the string. Oh, well, let's make a bag. Next thing you know, they got a market. You know, they're selling.
Check out the guitar shop I opened.
Anyway, that making bags, mats, nets, fabric, they said. It came from an archaeological site in the Rhone River Valley of southeastern France, and it was about 40,000 to 50,000 years old, the AP reports. Researchers don't know how Neanderthals used the string or even whether it had been originally attached to the stone cutting tool. It was made from the fiber of the inner bark of trees. Neanderthals twisted the tree bundles and fibers together clockwise and then twisted the bundles together clockwise to make string. Yeah, we know how to make string, okay?
And hey, Boy Scout, this is for the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And that assembly process shows some sense of numbers, Hardy said. So they had a picture, I thought, of one of the fibers, but I don't see it on here. View one more image.
Still waiting for him to pull a guitar out of the ground.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought it was kind of interesting. Yeah, you always think that, you know, they're kind of walking around, you know, beating rocks against the wall or whatever, you know, whatever they do. But here they are making strings. Pretty cool.
Amazing stuff. Yeah, don't underestimate what ancient people did. And it wasn't always aliens.
Yeah. First it was string, then they made the pyramids.
It's a bit of a leap there, but okay. by several tens of millennia.
Hey, on a map, it's this far away. Kind of thing.
From strings to space, because we like our space NASA stories. Well, yes. NASA is showing a picture of the Hubble Space Telescope took on your birthday. My birthday?
Your birthday, not our old birthday.
Oh, wait a minute. Hubble Space Telescope captured this 50,000 light year. There's a couple pictures Don is going to throw up on the stage. So, yeah, there's one. This is a 50 light year wide view of the central region of the Carina Nebula, where the maelstrom of starbirth and death is taking place. Huh, looks like a good phone background. Or it's like the bottom of a copper kettle. I could be wrong.
NASA, like that. Thousands of years ago, here's the image. Oh, I can put this on my phone.
NASA is celebrating the Hubble Space Telescope's 30th year in orbit. And even though most of the celebrations have been canceled due to the coronavirus pandemic, you can still explore some of the amazing contributions online. The Hubble was the first major optical space telescope to be placed in space, making it the first optical telescope in space. which has been showing us incredible photos of the universe 24 hours a day. And that picture on the screen there is chaotic activity atop a 3 light-year-tall pillar of gas and dust that is being eaten away by the brilliant light from a nearby bright stars in a tempestuous stellar nursery that's also part of Carina Nebula. It kind of looks like a bird.
I see a bear.
A bear. This is...
A bear standing up on the bottom part.
It's the Hubble Rorschach test. As part of the celebrations of the 30th anniversary,
what Google see?
NASA launched a place for you to see a picture of the cosmos on your birthday. All you have to do is select your birthday, month, and day, and the generator will reveal a photo from its collection. This almost sounds like astronomy photo of the day. APOD. NASA had events scheduled in California and Washington, D.C., but it has postponed them for a later date. If you have a telescope, NASA explains how you can see some of the same objects the Hubble has during this month from your backyard. On a clear night, find a safe location with a dark sky away from bright lights, point your telescope upward, and gaze upon some of the same nebulas and galaxies. Would it be nebulae? Nebulas?
Nebulae?
Octopi? Okay. Yeah. NASA directions say, if you don't have a telescope, binoculars and smaller telescopes may allow you to see a few of the same objects. Very cool stuff. Lots of great pictures. We invite you to go check it out, NASA.
Hey,
Hubble have been doing
what did you get? Did you look it up?
What did I get?
Yeah.
My birthday was like 3 weeks ago.
Well, it says on January 25th in 2000, I guess is the picture that Hubble took.
Okay.
Was Galaxy NGC 4013. It's a dark band of dust bisects the spiral galaxy NGC 4013. This edge-on galaxy is located 55 million light years away in the constellation Ursa Minor.
Select your birthday. Select your date. Go. In 2010 on my birthday.
Chuck got a black hole.
Star RS Puppis. No, this is an awesome picture.
Is it?
Okay. The bright star RS Puppis is swaddled in a cocoon of reflective dust illuminated by the glittering star. The star is 10 times more massive than our sun and is 200 times larger.
Hmm.
Very cool. It looks like one of those tunnels you don't want to go into, after you die.
Yeah.
Kind of cool. All right. Fun stuff. Hey, what do you say we stop and take a moment and thank our wonderful patrons for keeping this show going?
Why not?
Because it's that time of show, according to the show notes. Thank you, patrons. You get special content, and we are jotting down notes furiously as we go through. See, this is the official notepad of the patrons. We don't do as high a production quality on that podcast, but it's okay. It's all about the thought process, the brains, the you get the idea.
Or lack thereof.
When we find something, we'll let you know.
Yeah, that's right.
But for as little as $1 a show, and some people are donating more, you get your name enshrined on the show, and you get a postcard from Puerto Rico for whatever reason. Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, and Avner Braverman are among the people who got postcards. Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown, Chris MC, Dandy Man, thank you for joining us tonight because it's Sunday and he's got nothing else to do. Danny Mortensen, I think he's chief financial officer at this point. Dane Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros, Harold McKinstry, John Clifford, John Noble, Yorga Schrauen. The Yorga has been around since, I think, day one, as has Christina. Mm-hmm. Kyle Nishioka, he's been around forever.
Yeah.
You know what?
We can't get rid of it. We can't shake him.
I was looking through the email addresses people provided, and it took us quite a long time to figure out Christina is actually that Christina, a.k.a. Fuffy Frog, that we met at Dragon Con years ago. Yeah, that one. Okay, now you can put a face with the name. I said Kyle Nishioka. Leon. We know Leon. We met him a number of times in person. Mark Kilfoyle, good friend of the show. Mike Wills. All these people are real good friends of the show. Thank you very much. Night Gig Studio, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Wetchie, and Steve Therian. Your postcard is in the mail, I promise. So go over to our Patreon page.
That's what he says all the time.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah.
No, we really do appreciate it because we are in the midst of our migration, changing hosting providers. And it is very, very much appreciated that we'll be able to continue on with our new hosting provider, and Craig was asking for the password today so he could get in and start doing some stuff.
I felt like I was hacking on it all day. Well, I was, because I was trying to get in.
But now the account's locked out. And
yeah.
Go over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast, or if you go to our webpage at chuckchat.com/technorama, you'll find information there on how you can join and be part of this wonderful family of gratitude. Thank you very much. You know what? I think the song is... Yeah, we're not going to sit here for another minute. So thank you, band. Take a break.
By the way, John Miller Jr. said that he asked, were the nebulas practicing social distancing?
Yes, they're at least 6 light years from each other.
Yeah, that's it. 6 light years from each other.
Okay, are we down to the media corner? Am I reading this right?
I think so.
Okay, let's do this. You read it.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
All right. We have, you know how we do this show. We're not following the regular news, but occasionally it collides with our content and we just have to go with it. So, Craig, you found a quarantine-related-like story. So, have fun with this one.
Are you talking about the, wait a minute. Oh, yeah.
Media corner.
Okay, so here we go. This is I love this kind of thing. This is a fan recreation of Back to the Future Part 2. And hundreds of contributors combined their talents and homemade props to make the 1980s classic Back to the Future 2 in the span of a week.
What?
They weren't doing anything else, so.
And they did it scene for scene in a week.
So 5 years after the 2015 setting of Back to the Future 2, and rather swooping around hoverboards and having our heads munched by holographic sharks, we're cooped up inside for the betterment of humanity. But that's where DI fan-made tribute Project 88 comes in. A globe-trotting community remake of the 1980s classic for the self-isolating coronavirus. I was listening to Dave and Michael on the Mad at Dad. I keep wanting to call it Corova.
What?
Michael said, I'm going to call it, he didn't want to call it Corova, coronavirus. He just made up Corova. And now it's stuck in my head. I can't get it.
Okay.
Anyway. So over 300, you have to listen to the podcast to understand. So over 300 people from 9 different countries contributed to the Back to the Future 2, as in also 2, which features puppets, pets, cobbled together props, as well as a collage of animation and live action styles across 88 predefined scenes.
Okay, so you had to sign up for a scene. You don't get 20 people doing one particular scene.
No. And there was if you remember, we talked about this a long time ago. So bear with me.
I was Star Wars scrubbing one. Through this. Yes, I was scrubbing through this. I started watching maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, when they get. And then I scrubbed up to the scene where old Biff is in the car with young Biff and he hands him the magazine of the sports.
Oh, yeah.
The sports scores. It was potatoes.
potatoes.
Yeah. And I really want to see the rest of this thing because it's really creative on what people did. It's not just people acting it out, which is a lot of the scenes, and they do a fine job in many cases, but the creativity on other things, wow. It's
So it's an hour and 45 minutes, so go check it out. If you can't watch the whole thing, just flip through it at least, because I think it's well worth you checking out to some degree. I started watching it. I haven't finished it. I'm going to go back and finish it. And one scene was animated. It looked like South Park. And next thing I know, I skipped ahead just a little bit to see. And there was two guys in homemade costumes. I don't know. You got to watch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, go check it out.
Some stuff is hardly recognizable that it's from the movie. If it weren't for the dialogue, you wouldn't know that was from the movie. This is like, what?
Yeah.
What is this that I'm watching?
Now, a while back, if you're interested in checking this out, I don't think this is the right name, but I thought it was called Star Wars Frame by Frame. But what they did was they had, 20-second increments They broke up the movie and all these different small scenes, and people would sign up for a scene and they would produce it and send it in, and they edited the whole thing together. Similar to this.
That's awesome.
But this one, they broke it up not quite as much as the Star Wars one. But anyway, go look for that. If I find it, I'll put it in the show notes too.
It's a lot of fun. Thanks for finding that, Greg. That's a lot of fun. Help people stay entertained. And it's hilarious.
Just actually seeing the scene changes is almost as fun as just watching the movie.
Yep. Well, and it's fun to do material you already know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, this is the picture. All right. Next picture, we have Geek Library.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
All right, these four people are not going to take down that dragon. I don't know what.
Yeah, right. Hey, you know, got to have some ambition and some goals, right?
You better roll a 20 real fast, buddy. Yeah. Hey, when most, yes?
I was going to say, I'm not sure if we talked about this or I threw this in the...
This feels like a familiar, I may be scrolling down too far. No.
Well,
no,
the byline had April 10th, so which is just before.
Or somebody's republishing somebody else's article, because this feels like a very familiar.
Let's talk about it anyway.
Okay. When most people think of Dungeons and Dragons. Wow, this is like comicbook.com.
I know.
They probably think of a group of people huddled around a table with snacks and dice piled high as the dungeon master sets up the next encounter. That's not how it goes.
Got any Cheetos?
Any girls here?
I get drunk. Roll.
I'm going to attack the darkness. However, more and more players are turning towards the internet to play using online simulators to play with their friends. That's been like a thing for years, but okay. More people are discovering the online experience because they can't get together with their friends, lest they get infected. Online simulators help alleviate the issues of working around player schedules or different time zones. And for the DMs, online simulators offer tools that streamline the world and dungeon building process, making it easier to create a campaign than ever before. However, not all these online D&D simulators are created equal, and each one has its own advantages and drawbacks. So, number one on the list is Fantasy Grounds. This is one that I believe our good friend Scott Tyler uses currently.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Yeah. Fantasy Grounds is perhaps the best online simulator to play Dungeons & Dragons. Fantasy Grounds has official licenses from Wizards of the Coast, which means official campaigns, characters, and enemies, as well as Dungeons & Dragons specific rule sets are available. New players to D&D will feel at home, as the system's UI displays everything on screen that players would normally have to keep track of on their own character sheets or notes. Dungeon masters will also appreciate the variety of complexity of their tools at their disposal, including various templates to help them run their sessions. On the other hand, learning exactly how those tools work could pose a challenge for DMs. Fantasy Grounds offers many tools and gadgets that allow DMs to build their worlds, but the software itself is very dense. Taking the time to learn how to use it effectively can take hours, which might be off-putting to DMs who already put hours into session preparation. So on top of this, Fantasy Grounds can cost players a significant amount of money. A single copy costs $40, and the four-pack costs $120. Players will also have to consider purchasing campaigns as well as a character class and monster modules. Well, in-app purchases available. Do you want to buy an axe? Yeah. The other one that we've used in the past is Roll20. Very popular as well. Roll20 is another immensely popular online simulator, and for good reason. It's free to use for all players. The entire system is available right from the start, though there is some paid content for other users and other specific game compendiums. Roll20 offers most of what players and DMs need for creating and playing a D&D session. There's a straightforward design tool for maps, dungeons and towns, as well as the ability to create and name multiple simple commands for actions like dice rolling that will keep a session gameplay interrupted. Oh, yeah, you don't want to stop and do all that. For the DMs who enjoy immersive campaigns, there's even a jukebox system that plays music on cue. That was fun, too.
Nice.
You walk into the pub and you hear...
A little flute.
Pretty much. Or you're going to the dungeon. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun. That's pretty cool.
Well, Roll20 is great. The fact that it is not licensed by Wizards of the Coast means it lacks a lot of official D&D material. Unless players choose to purchase specific game compendiums, D&D specific characters, races, monsters, and items will either have to be recreated in Roll20, or you'll have to find a suitable replacement. There's also Tabletop Simulator. I'm not going to read through each one of these. Well, actually, I can. That's the third and last one.
Yeah, I would say it's the only one.
Okay, Tabletop Simulator is another great D&D online simulator. Since it's available on Steam, getting a session together is incredibly easy. Tabletop Simulator also has takes. They're I'm not doing this on purpose, people.
Yeah. Sorry.
You know I can do cold reads better than that. It's when it's written poorly is when I screw up. Yeah. Tabletop part of the D&D seriously displaying games with a virtual tabletop that helps players visualize towns and dungeons very easily. While it's another paid platform, it's much cheaper than Fantasy Grounds at $20 for a single copy and $60 for the four pack. Steam also has sales, so you might even be able to get it on sale. Plus, Tabletop Simulator's biggest asset is probably the Steam Workshop. While players can purchase DLC, which is effectively complete board games that run through Tabletop Simulator, the Steam Workshop offers up a horde of downloadable assets and miniatures to use in campaigns for free. Ooh, that sounds really cool. However, part of what makes this platform great is also what detracts it from the overall experience. Tabletop Simulator always reminds the player that, in the end, they are just rolling dice and playing a game. Wow, way to ruin the experience, Mom.
Yeah, somebody deflated the balloon there.
The game's visuals keep it grounded as a tabletop RPG, whereas Fantasy Grounds and Roll20 keep game mechanics going on behind the scenes so the players can stay immersed in the action. It'll also take some time for everyone to become accustomed to Tabletop Simulator's controls, and setting up games can take some time. Overall, though, Tabletop Simulator is a great way to relax and play through some quick one-shot sessions with friends. Ooh.
Pretty cool.
Kind of digging that one, too. So we're checking out if you want to do some online with your friends, play some games, whatnot. We have, what, one more story. And I think we have time for just one more story, too. So roll them, Craig. Where's my...
All right.
My dice bag. Just,
yeah.
Oh, there it is. Found it. Okay.
Oh. Are we rolling for something?
No. Rolling for the last story. You win. Go.
I got him right here. I'm ready. All right. Does time really flow?
No, time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana.
I knew you were
going
to say that. You stole my line, man.
Time flies like an arrow. Fruit flies like a banana.
That's right. New clues come from a century-old approach to math. So strangely, although we feel as if sweep through time on the knife's edge between the fixed path and the open future. I started to say furniture.
Open furniture.
That edge, the present, appears nowhere in the existing laws of physics. In Albert Einstein's theory of relativity, for example, time is woven together with three dimensions of space, forming a bendy four-dimension space-time continuum, a block universe encompassing the entire past and present and future.
Mm-hmm.
Einstein's equations portray everything in the block universe as decided from the beginning. The initial conditions of the cosmos determine what comes later, and surprises do not occur. They only seem to. For us, believing in physics, Einstein wrote in 1955, weeks before his death, the distinction between past, present, and future is only a stubbornly persistent illusion. So the timeless predetermined view on reality held by Einstein's remains popular today. The majority of physicists believe in the block universe view because it is predicted by general relativity. A Marina Cortez cosmologist, at the University of Lisbon. However, she said
Lisbon. Where is this Lisbon?
Lisbon, excuse me. I've read an R in there.
Capital of Portugal.
Yeah. However, she said, if somebody is called on to reflect a bit more deeply, what the block universe means, they start to question and waver the implications. And you know what? I think I'm starting to waver on this article because it's kind of long.
Yeah, the fun part of the article is right at the top. You can tap the picture to make yourself a universe, and it's different every time.
Ooh, I just did it.
Donna's got a sample of what my universe looks like. You can
have to make another one.
You can just feel like a god. Check out where the galaxies, the little swirly things end up. And
I
then,
feel like Thanos. I'm going to wipe it all out and start over.
Yeah, but only wipe out half of it.
Yeah. Anyway, it is a long article and talks about all this stuff, but so go check it out.
Deep stuff from a shallow podcast.
Yeah, wait, what?
Okay, that brings us to our question of the week, which isn't as deep as that. What movie did you start watching and then said, screw it, I'm not finishing this? You know, I know there's a few of them. I just have to think really hard to remember what they are because I tried to purge them from my memory and then I probably wound up watching them again.
You know me, I watch movies and I like some that people don't. So I don't know. Actually, you know what? I'll tell you something, not a movie, but it's more of a series and,
TV shows all the time. Yeah.
The, Tiger King.
that was right at the top of my list.
But however, I did go finish it. So that's
you
not
asked
quite...
for a movie. So I'm going to come up with a movie by next show.
All right. And by the way, I did finish the Tiger King.
You did?
I went back. I was like, surely everybody's raving on about this show. So I was like, I'm going to watch it. And you know what?
It didn't get better.
At the end, it's funny. The last 5 minutes sums up the entire thing.
Oh, good. I'll just zip to that part.
Well, this guy said he had the best insight on everything. He said all of this stuff that all these people were doing and everything, the one thing they all forgot about was it was about the animals. And it was like, I was like, yeah, that's right. They're all idiots. And they just.
Well, I picked that up in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, I know. And then he sums it up. I was like, well, he was right. But I even told Kim. Kim didn't want to see it because of the animals in it. I was like, I get it, but I'll tell you, the animals are really just a backdrop to all this crap. These people are idiots, you know. So I'm sorry I spent that time watching it.
there's your review of the week, kids.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Craig. And that brings us to the end of this show. Thank you very much to Mrs. Technorama for running the titles and video.
And happy birthday to her.
Happy birthday. Everybody says, hey, what? You got any plans? Yes, we're going to enjoy a nice quiet evening in.
Hey, why don't y'all take a nice dinner to the other side of the pool?
We're going to get a pizza out of the freezer.
That's right.
All right. Thank you. And thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate it very much. You can get a hold of us. 707-530-2428, or you can go over to chuckchat.com, Technorama, and find all that information there. We're also on Facebook and everything else, too. So until next week, wash your hands, stay safe, stay inside, don't get anybody infected. If you go out, wear a mask, all that good stuff. Craig, give us a binary high five.
101. Hey, I did sanitize those numbers, by the way.
Sanitize my microphone?
Yeah.